Syria is top of mind today. The Department of Defense says it has begun the process of withdrawing all 2,000 U.S. troops currently stationed in Syria to fight ISIS. You'll remember President Trump declared victory against ISIS and announced the withdrawal rather abruptly a month ago. That precipitated the resignation of Defense Secretary Jim Mattis. Since then, some of the president's top advisors have been trying to convince America's allies the withdrawal is a good thing. And they have been hedging a bit, saying the pullout may take a little longer than the month President Trump initially promised, and it may only happen if certain conditions are met. To understand why the president's decision is so controversial, I'm joined now by Middle East analyst Matthew Brodsky. He's a senior fellow at the Security Studies Group in Washington, D.C., and he joins us by Skype. Hi there, Mr. Brodsky. Thanks for your time.
Great to be with you.
Why is the prospect of U.S. withdrawal from Syria causing such debate? If we only have a little more than 2,000 troops there anyway, it doesn't sound like it's that big of a force. Why would pulling them out cause so many people to sort of wring their hands in concern?
There are several reasons. One of the interesting parts of this is that with the small amount of troops, President Trump had actually stumbled onto somewhat of a Goldilocks policy, where we didn't commit too much, as though we did under G.W. Bush administration, and we didn't do too little under President Obama. And so we were having Kurds do most of the ground fighting for us in an area where we had managed to create a lot of leverage for us for the political and economic situation in Syria going forward, which is useful when it comes to dealing with Iran and Russia. What we had did was, again, just create a lot of leverage in an area that essentially is the meeting ground for four separate conflicts that are happening inside of Syria right now.
So the 2,000 American troops currently in Syria engaged in this fight against ISIS, you say that we've leveraged their numbers. So we've been able to use that to get a lot more done than we might have thought just looking at the numbers?
Exactly. See, before the Trump administration put in the troops there, we didn't have any leverage in this situation. We kind of wanted to avoid Syria to begin with. We figured it wasn't our problem. It was ISIS that really made us want to go there. That's what our military is tasked with defeating. So we've been in northeastern Syria. We hold with our Kurdish and Arab allies 30% of the total country. Which actually holds 90% of the oil and gas. So we are sitting on that area, which basically means that Assad and Russia and Iran can't claim that they've retaken the entire country. They can't count on the oil revenue, which they're hoping for reconstruction. And they can't just rubber stamp Assad remaining in power, which basically means he would be a puppet to Iran and Russia. We are able to then have leverage with when it comes to creating a new political situation, to see how the ending is going to be, to decide where money internationally is going to be spent on reconstruction. So it's kind of been very useful, even though, as I say, militarily, we're actually fighting ISIS. It happens to be that where we are located accomplishes a whole list of other tasks.
So who specifically, because President Trump campaigned on getting us out of these fights, and so he's happy to deliver on a campaign promise to bring us home from Syria. Who's worried about this and why?
It's most people, actually, in the foreign policy community, because if the goal was to just get out of the conflict, then on day one, remove everyone. Because what happens when we leave is we're not only selling out our Kurdish allies, they end up cutting a deal with Assad. Remember, Assad is now essentially a wholly owned subsidiary of Iran. So any fighting that we've done with our troops, whatever our task has been in the year plus that Trump has been in office, is to essentially act as Iran's air force. So if the goal was to just simply get out, then get out in the beginning and just say, fine, what we're doing is going to turn over all of Syria to Assad. We have no problem with the fact that he used chemical weapons on his people. And we have no problem with the fact that it's now turned into an Iranian safe haven that we've now opened up land corridors from Tehran and Iran straight through the Middle East to Lebanon.
Matthew Brodsky, the reason that President Obama sent U.S. troops into Syria was to fight ISIS. We have ostensibly throughout this entire time not been involved in the fight against Assad's regime there, other than to be arming or supporting to some extent the opposition forces, right, to Assad. But what I'm hearing you say is that pulling out will have a very direct impact on Assad's power and control of Syria. So, I mean, are a lot of these folks who are worried about the pullout effectively acknowledging that America has been there, our troops have been there, keeping Assad at bay, not just ISIS?
See, now you get to the heart of the matter, which is there are different policies between our Defense Department, our State Department, and our National Security Council. The Defense Department, as you say, is tasked to fight ISIS. That's the authorization for the use of military force. So this is what they're fighting. This is all that they talk about whenever you hear anything released from anyone in the Pentagon. The State Department, you've heard different goals as far as the political solution, because if there's no political solution, then the war essentially will still continue. It just turns into a conflict between regional powers, as it is happening right now. So these other goals that the State Department and the National Security Council are pursuing, which would lead to a stable situation in the future, are the ones that make sense. But they realize that the military, that they basically are able to pursue these goals and use the leverage that the military has created for them, because the military is simply sitting on the territory that allows them to pursue other objectives. Now, me and a lot of people in the foreign policy community would say what the State Department, the Syria team specifically tasked to look at this, is pursuing happens to be the right goals. Otherwise, we are directly empowering Iran and Russia, or we are at best resetting the conditions to 2011 when the Syria uprising began to begin with, which is what caused the rise of ISIS to begin with. So we clearly need something that isn't, you know, what we've already done and have seen failed. So that's kind of the situation.
Yeah. Well, and so so President Trump sent out a couple of tweets on Sunday night that seemed to summarize the whole his thinking here about Syria. Cool. And I want to read those and ask you to respond to a couple of components of it, or at least to help us understand the backstory here. So first of all, the president tweets, starting the long overdue pullout from Syria while hitting the little remaining ISIS territorial caliphate hard and from many directions. Will attack again from existing nearby base if it reforms. So that seems to be a response to one of the criticisms we've heard, which is ISIS has not been defeated. Declaring a victory is far too early. And the minute we leave, we could just create a vacuum that will allow it to, you know, to come back in. So President Trump is saying, well, look, if it does that, we'll come back and hit them hard, right?
Sure, he's saying that, but and it's true that we have a lot of influence with our Air Force, with our Navy. Those are all not in Syria. The 2,000 troops, though, back up. First of all, it's a very small contingent, but they also back up and provide support for ground forces. When we pull out of those areas, they are going to end up cutting deals with the people who are our adversaries. So this isn't like 2011, when Obama pulled out of Iraq early. Many of us in the foreign policy community had to say, look, if you pull out, very bad things are going to happen. We have to draw a kind of a picture of what it might look like. Well, what it looked like was ISIS. That's what happened. It didn't exist at the time. But right now, we know what happens when we pull up. Russia and Iran and Assad's forces are basically gathering across the river from where our positions are. They want to retake the oil field. So basically, we're just saying we're going to give up the entire country to Iran and Syria. Now, if that's going to be the policy and was the purpose of the policy to begin with, then that's what you do on day one.
Day one of the Trump administration? Or
Yeah, if that was the policy for the Trump administration. The thing is, it wasn't the policy of the Trump administration. Pushing back on Iran was the main part of the policy, and finishing off ISIS too. They're actually intimately connected. But if we were to pull out, he would make that decision with himself, speak to his advisors about that, and begin the negotiations, which is essentially where we already were before he made the announcement, to try to set up the future so that we leave in an orderly fashion in a way that is best serving American interests. And unfortunately, the process by which we are doing this is extraordinarily chaotic in causing our allies to doubt whether they can count on us, or to doubt whether they can listen to what our Secretary of State or National Security Advisor ends up saying. It's just not the way one goes about doing something.
So the negotiation was already underway. There was already progress, but for whatever reason, President Trump felt like he needed to just like speed things up and make the announcement. And that's the piece that's really caused this chaos and led to our allies not sure if they can – do they trust what President Trump said or what he tweets, or do they trust Secretary Pompeo, or do they, you know, listen to National Security Advisor John Bolton? So it's the – I mean, we've basically undermined a process that was already working in your mind?
It was a process that was A, not only working, but B, because we had the leverage there that we couldn't use it. Even if he said, look, we're going out, we're leaving in 2 months. Do what you need to do, but get us out in 2 months. You know, if he said that to his Secretary of Defense and the State Department, then these are conversations they have without letting the other parties, without letting Turkey, without letting Russia, without letting Iran know. That this is what we're doing, and you end up getting as many concessions as you can. You end up working to build the force, the Arab NATO version that we're trying to create, to get them in place. There's many things that you would do in the meantime while we still had leverage, because the moment you pull out, that leverage is gone from the territorial aspect. Of course, yes, we can always say, we can bomb you from afar. We have lots of military assets. We can bomb you. Yeah, we can say that almost anywhere in the world. That's not the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. So President Trump's tweets continue then after he talks about if ISIS reforms, we'll just come back and get them. Then he says, we'll devastate Turkey economically if they hit Kurds, create 20-mile safe zone. Likewise, do not want the Kurds to provoke Turkey. So can you decipher for us? You don't have to get inside his mind, right? But what I'd like for you to explain for us is why Turkey and the Kurds are such an important part of this calculation about whether or not we should bring home our 2,000-ish troops there in Syria?
Well, Turkey is obviously an interested party since they're a neighbor and share the longest border there with Syria. Now, they dislike the Kurds immensely and essentially consider the Kurds to be terrorists, all of them, no matter what stripe they are. We chose under the Obama administration to work with the Kurds as our ally instead of Turkey, because Turkey was being problematic. And incidentally, their behavior has been far, far away, not that of an ally right now, just for the past many years. So we've chosen to work with the Kurds. Turkey is going to invade the areas that we've had in northern and northeastern Syria, where we've been working with the Kurds, and they basically would like to, well, kill them. Essentially, that's what their plan is to do. We have leverage, of course, if we were negotiating all of this before saying that we are pulling out. Unfortunately, we just turned over all of our cards and said we're leaving. And now we're trying to negotiate with Turkey over the terms. So
this is where this is where we saw initially National Security Advisor John Bolton saying, hey, we're not going to just leave the Kurds hanging. Turkey's going to have to promise they're not going to invade. That's going to be a condition of us leaving, which then Turkey said, hang on a second. That's not what President Trump told us.
Turkey said that, if you want us to be the ones fighting ISIS instead, which is incidentally kind of impossible. I mean, Turkey isn't going to go to southern Syria and fight ISIS. They just aren't. But they said in order to do that, we would need your support. It would have actually meant us increasing our troop levels to support Turkey fighting ISIS when we are already there and have them defeated to within 1% in that region. So
the problem here
is mind-boggling.
And what's mind-boggling, I guess, to you, Matthew Brodsky, then, and to a lot of foreign affairs folks, is just that if you know the fact that we didn't have this Turkey Kurd situation ironed out before we said, all right, within 30 days we're leaving the territory. You guys figure it out.
Right. I mean, the best analogy I can use is imagine the Lord of the Rings and you're Frodo and you've made it all the way into Mordor. You know, you have the ring. You're right in front of Mount Doom. All you need to do is throw it in there. You're at the end and you're just like, meh, yeah, whatever. You know, let's just go back to the Shire and we'll hang out. Like this, you know, and then let the dark side take over. We put in charge, we put in place a really smart Syria team at the State Department who has created many great things in a short amount of time, in just a few months. And we were on the right path in the midst of negotiating on several levels with many different sides who are, of course, involved in all these conflict zones just within Syria. And the president is saying, we're withdrawing. And now, after he's been warned, these are all the repercussions that are extremely negative. He's now having second thoughts here and there and then trying to come up with ways he can negotiate. But you would tell anyone who negotiates, you don't reveal your red line, your bottom line first and then try to get your concessions. That's not how it works.
Matthew Brodsky is a senior fellow at the Security Studies Group in Washington, D.C. He's a Middle East analyst. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
This is Top of Mind. I'm Julie Rose.